Welcome to the Word and Praise Faith Ministry broadcast. I am Apostle Dr. Kevin Barber, and my lovely wife is Senior Pastor Dr. Shelley Barber. We are located in Baltimore City. Word and Praise Faith Ministry, located at 5200 Denmore Avenue, Baltimore, Maryland, 21215. Welcome to our broadcast today, the Stay Beneath the Blood broadcast. We are getting ready to go into the studio this morning. Thank you all for joining us today. Again, thank you for joining us on our broadcast today. Today, I have a special guest who will be joining me in the studio today. And the title of this broadcast, we're going to call it The Shift. And the reason why we're calling it that, because you all know that around March of this year, we got hit with the COVID-19. And we're so sorry that a lot of people have lost their lives. And we're praying for those who have been affected by this pandemic. But it has caused a lot of things to shift, and we're going to be talking about some things today. And so without further ado, I'm going to bring Brother Chris Manley onto this broadcast so that we can have a little rap session and talk about some of those things that have been going on. Brother Chris, are you there?
Yes, I am. Good evening, Apostle.
Well, good evening. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing fine, doing fine. How about you, yourself?
Okay. Welcome to the broadcast today. I know we have a lot of listeners out there, and this, I believe, is a very sensitive subject that we will be talking about. But we're going to be talking about the COVID-19 and some of the effects that it has had on our economy. I know that I met you, Brother Chris, several years ago in the technology field working. And I know that, you know, you've been doing technology for a number of years. And so we just want to talk about some of the changes that have happened during the COVID-19. One of the things that I want to ask you about, what are some of the things that you've noticed that the church has had to make an adjustment because of COVID-19? Can we talk about that?
Yes, absolutely. Well, one thing I've noticed is everyone else is the congregation has decreased and has been non-existent as far as meeting live. So everything has been more remote. I mean, although we've heard of some churches that have been meeting in numbers, in physical numbers, the result was it kind of got the pandemic spread a little bit more, so they had to shut it down. So everything has been being more remote as far as the alternative to church meetings and gatherings. So that's where it seems like it's going to be at for a while until, you know, we can find some way to meet again, you know, in a normal world.
Yeah, thank God for technology, because really we would be lost without it, because, you know, it's only our real way of being able to still be there without being there, if you know what I'm saying. And there's so many different technologies that's out there that churches can use. We found that there were a lot of churches that did not have access to technology, and not so much as that they didn't have access, but, you know, the actual technology was there for them to use, but they weren't taking advantage of the technology. And so when COVID-19 hit, they were in a situation where, you know, what do we do now? And so we're so glad that, you know, as being technical guys, that we can advise them even today on some churches that may need assistance in making sure that they're still able to have their services and communicate with their congregations by way of some of the technologies. I know one of the technologies that a lot of people use is called Zoom, and I know you heard of Zoom. Can you talk a little bit about Zoom?
Yeah, well, again, a lot of churches, like what you were saying about churches not using the technology or not having access to it, a lot of them before the pandemic did not have a need to have it. So they, you know, if they didn't have a need to have it, why use it? So now it's like they're in a crunch situation where they have to use it now. There's no options. There's no choice. So they have to catch up with the technology very quickly. So they need some advisors to show them how to do it.
Right, because even taking offerings and things like that, I know a lot of churches quite naturally word and praise, because I'm a technology guy. We had a lot of things in place. Me and my lovely wife, senior pastor Dr. Shelley Barber, we put in a lot of the technology in place. Like there's a technology called Give Life. We put that in place. We also have the technology Cash App in place, and PayPal for electronic transactions, and just a great way to be able to, still be able to get revenues in without having to physically be there. I know several years ago, it snows a lot here. We're on the East Coast. It snows a lot here on the East Coast, especially in the Maryland area. And what happened was we decided to use PayPal on snow days and use a free conference call .com so that they could come on the lines and we could still have a service and then point them to the digital way that they could actually be able to pay their tithes and their offerings. So this started years ago for us, but I know that when the pandemic hit, there was a lot of churches that just didn't have any of that in place, and now they're scrounging around trying to get that together.
Yeah.
So we're looking at just being able to help churches and understand that sometimes during tough times, God, He has tools right before you that you could use to be able to shift and be able to keep everything afloat, like keep the church afloat, keep certain things afloat. So we're just here just to discuss some of the things today. We talked about the COVID-19. We talked about how many people are losing their lives. We talked about shift in the church. Let's talk about jobs. What have you noticed in the job market?
Well, job market, as everyone else has noticed, has been declining, and there's been a lot of loss of jobs, but in response to that, a lot of companies have decided to have remote access or hiring individuals to work from home. I know Comcast has made a big move for that, for people, for their technicians and for their online assistants and everything like that. Instead of having an office, they're all migrating to home. They're all being set up with equipment and access to do everything they do from home. And other companies have followed suit. I've heard Amazon has done the same thing. Facebook is following suit with their having a lot of people, a lot of their folks working from home, which gives greater accessibility to their workplace, where they don't have to worry about going out into the world and exposing themselves to the pandemic. So it's a lot safer, as in schools are doing the same. As we've all known, schools are starting to have remote classes and universities and such. So everything is making the move towards home,
Right, I know that people say that the pandemic, some say it'll be over soon. Some say we got another year to go. So nobody really knows what the Lord is going to do in regard to the pandemic. But the one thing that I believe that this could be somewhat as considered the new normal.
It could be. Yeah.
Where, no more large gatherings. With that being said, we have got to leverage ourselves and leverage the technology to be able to cope with some of the things. I know that what we have done is we have used the social media platforms to do actual virtual conferences. And so that has been working really well for us as a church. And you really, to be honest with you, have to reinvent yourself. You have to be innovative. You have to, think outside of the box. You have to shift what is actually happening to make the adjustment so that you could just be in a situation where, okay, if this isn't working, let's move to this. And so, like I said, again, thank God for technology. One of the things that, like you said, a lot of people are doing, they're working from home. They're getting laptops, they're getting desktop. And, you know, even, you know, the cable industry, when you say Comcast, let's get into that a little bit. Let's talk about that, because technology has a lot to do with certain things that are going on, even in the entertainment industry, and how we look at, you know, different movies and things like that, and how we watch television. I know years ago Netflix came on the scene, and it's sort of like with the new kid on the block, and it knocked Blockbusters out of the market, because we were used to going to Blockbusters, picking up videotape. You know how we used to watch the videotape,
yeah.
And
yeah.
You have it for 3 or 4 days, and you forget to take it back, and they charge you $3 or $4 more. Let's talk about that a little bit, and how the streaming technology is now coming into play.
Yeah, as you said, and there's more and more streaming venues every day. You know, Netflix. Yeah, they were the pioneers, but now, I mean, there's so many now, too numerous to mention, and they're always popping up. And a lot of that is due to the pandemic, because, you know, it's going to change the way we view movies, and that we have entertaining, you know, things that are entertainment. Drive-ins seem to be coming back a bit, because that's a way to quarantine ourselves in our cars, but still enjoy movies. So that's a medium that seems to be coming back to some degree, because they had phased, you know, drive-in theaters have been gone for a while.
Yeah,
they're kind of coming back, because that's the only way that people can actually get out and enjoy a movie without putting themselves at risk. So,
do you remember the old Benzies drive-in? It was up there in Middle River. Do you remember that?
Oh yeah, I definitely remember that. Yeah, I mean, that was like a family event to go to the drive-in.
Get your little popcorn.
Yeah, sometimes you sit outside the car with a blanket, like a picnic or something.
Yeah,
but
you know, there's been definitely a shift in the entertainment industry. Now, when we talk about cable, I know that the cable bills, and this is no bash on any companies, but they typically have been very high. People start out with $120 cable bill, and then before the contract is over, it winds up being like $200-some. And what many people are doing, Chris, is they're cutting the cord. You know what I mean by that?
Oh, yeah, cable. Yeah, a lot of people are phasing out cable and just getting the service of the internet and then streaming everything.
Yeah.
You know? And that's the economical way to do, where you just get the service of the cable company just to provide you the internet service, and then you stream everything else.
Because, you know, I cut the cord cut the cord roughly about 2 years ago.
Okay.
And so we no longer have regular cable service. We have internet service. And we're with Verizon, and we're doing about our speed is about 100 gigabytes over 100 gigabytes, for those who understand the technology. Meaning, if you don't understand what I just said, not you, Chris, but for those who are listening, it's just real fast. And so, you know, we will use the term in technology bandwidth, and bandwidth is like being on a highway, and it just gives you quicker access, faster access to download speeds and the internet. And so one of the things that came out several years ago that I didn't jump on right away, but I kept hearing people talk about it, was the Fire Stick. Are you familiar with that?
I've heard of Fire Stick, but I never had one.
Mm-hmm.
But I know they offer you a lot of connection or access.
Yeah.
Well, I
took the plunge, and I got a Fire Stick, you know, a couple of Fire Sticks around the house. And I found the Fire Sticks to be very convenient. The one thing that is different about cable as opposed to streaming, you could go on Netflix and stream Netflix. And let's say your favorite program you like. You know, you could look at your favorite program, and once you looked at that favorite program, you could see the whole series. You know, two weeks worth of Greenleaf or something like that, your favorite program. And the one thing about cable that I didn't like, they put on shows on a schedule, and if you didn't get a chance to see it or you didn't have a DVR or some type of format to record the show, you just flat out missed it, and you had to wait 6 months to a year before the program aired again or something like that. But with streaming, you can go right into Netflix and say, okay, I want to watch episode 4. You click right in episode 4. So, I mean, that was pretty good.
Yeah, but I've been thinking about the Fire Stick, and I need to ask you that more about that offline.
Yeah, we have some type of technical because I hear a lot of moving around in the background.
What's that?
I hear a lot of noise in the background.
I'm having a little difficulty at the moment.
Well, we're supposed to be live, sir. But in any event, Chris is getting him something to eat. But so with that being said, you know, a lot of people are cutting the cord. I think my cable bill was about. I'm gonna wait till you finish.
Okay.
I'm gonna wait till you finish.
Hold on.
Okay.
Okay. Well, I don't want you to have dead air, so, you know, keep it.
Yeah. It's very irritating, the noise in the background. Okay. So, with that being said, with the cable,
Hello?
Yeah, I'm waiting for you.
Okay, I'm good. Okay, I'm good now. Okay,
yeah.
I'm good.
The cable was typically roughly around $200 a month.
Right.
And we cut that bill, I mean, not even in half. We just demolished that bill. Now,
right.
We pay for internet $50 to $60 a month.
Oh, wow, that's okay. Tremendous.
That was a tremendous savings because, you know, we got tired of paying that bill like that. So,
right.
You know, that was a great decision on our part. So all we had to do, I think the Fire Stick is only like $34. So that's
okay.
Very cheap. And then you know.
For those of us that don't know where to purchase them, where do you purchase them?
You can get a Fire Stick at Best Buy's. You can get one at Amazon.com. And if you have a Prime subscription, they will deliver the Fire Stick to you. It will be delivered to you like in a day. You know,
okay.
So that's really good. You know, and there's a lot of different shows out there that are streaming. There's actually a lot of companies that are springing up that do streaming. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they show regular TV and movies and all of that. And some of them are as low as $20 a month and give you like you know, 300-400 channels. You know, I don't know the legitimacy of how legal they are, but I know that I believe just like, remember when the gas and electric companies got deregulated?
Right.
I believe that the cable industry is definitely, with streaming moving into that era. They're just not going to, I know they probably lost a lot of customers. Now, it's still, they provide internet, so a lot of people still use the internet service. But I think the streaming is really good. One of the things that I want to talk about in regards to the COVID-19 and as we're talking about the shift, a lot of entrepreneurs have been birthed. You say a lot of companies have people working from home, but there are a lot of people that decided that, hey, I want to start my own business. And So there's a lot of companies that people actually can do from home, and a lot of low startup companies where the cost is not a whole lot. On the average, I've seen some as high as $500 and some as low as $100 to actually have, and they have a system, what's called a back office, where you can log into your back office, you can manage your customers, your clients, you can send a link, let's say if I'm offering a credit service or if I'm offering a legal service or if I'm offering some type of service where I can have my own personalized link, or we would say with a URL where it could be sent out to a person and the person can go and click on the link and purchase whatever service that we have. Another thing that's springing up that a lot of people are getting involved in is affiliate marketing. Have you heard of that? Have you been around?
No, I haven't heard of that. Fill me in.
Okay, affiliate marketing is when a company, they decide they want to use you as the go-between between them and the company. They'll say, like, you know, there are a lot of people that are selling products for Amazon online. And so they will be called affiliate marketers. So what Amazon would do is if you're selling a product that's normally marketed on Amazon, they will give you a cut, you know, like a commission for you're almost basically like a reseller. So it's like when we were talking about that company called Alibaba, I would say they would almost be like the Amazon of China and things like that. So so there's a lot of things out here for us to get into to shift during this COVID-19. One of the things that I would think in what I've noticed in order to really be valid in this day and age that we're living in, you really need to have your technology needs to be up to par. You really need to have a decent computer. Let's talk about some of the specifications that, you know, one may need it when going out and looking for a computer.
Okay, well, laptops are the best now. Well, either laptops or tablets, because for a long time, I mean, I haven't had a desktop in, I mean, I can't remember the last time I had a desktop, but I still have now. I just have a laptop and a tablet, so I seem to do very well with that because, you know, it's portable. You can take it from room to room, you know, and it has a lot of memory, a lot of gig, and a lot of bandwidth and things like you mentioned before. So I basically do a lot of my surfing, you know, the internet and watching, you know, streaming shows on my laptop or on my tablet. So.
Right.
So that gives me all the computing power that I need for what I do, you know. You know, if you write a lot or if you do, you know, things like that, maybe you need a little bit more, you know, computing power than what I have. But, you know, you just kinda, it depends on what you need, you know.
Yeah, I typically would advise someone to really be able to use some of the latest technology and some of the latest software that, you know, you need to at least have a computer bare minimum with about eight gigabytes of RAM, random access memory. It's like a library. Your RAM goes to the library or the hard drive, we would say, and it pulls the actual program and it runs the program. So you need to have some good, strong RAM. You also need to have a pretty decent hard drive. The hard drive is pretty much where all of the information on the computer is stored. And so we want to basically have a good hard drive. I would recommend, if you do a lot of graphics and you're just someone that does a lot of work on the computer, I would recommend having a hard drive that's at least 700 gigabytes or more, or a terabyte. I would recommend no less than about 500 gigs on the hard drive. and like I said, 8 megabytes of RAM, random access memory. And then I would recommend at least no less than an i5 processor speed. They have pretty fast processors out. Processors are where the mathematical, what you would call the mathematical communications are being done. Calculations are being done. And so you want to make sure that, we're able to have a pretty fast processor. So I just brought a laptop recently, and I believe my processor speed, I have like an i7, which I hear in the industry that an i7 is pretty good. I have about 700 gigs on my hard drive, and I have about eight gigs of RAM. And so I found that, most programs I haven't had, no problems with running on that computer because, as technology begins to move forward, the older the computer, the slower it becomes and it's not adaptable to technology. And so we want to make sure that if we have a computer, even during this COVID-19 and we're working from home, that we have the correct specifications. And I would recommend Windows operating system, Windows 10, for those of you who use Windows computers. And then I don't know a whole lot about Mac, so but I will speak to at least say get the latest version of Mac so that you can be pretty much up to speed for those of you who use Macintosh computers. You got anything you want to add to that?
Well, there's one technology that I have got to mention that I have been inseparable from, and that is Alexa.
All right.
Alexa is my best friend, especially during this pandemic, because Alexa is not just a computer. In a lot of ways, it's better than a computer because, let's say, for instance, you wanted a recipe, that you never, let's say Thai food. Let's say you like Thai food. You wanted an interesting Thai food recipe. You would have to go through, you have to get on your laptop, do a search, do all that, painstakingly kind of look around, go to different websites and see what the best one is to fit you. You have to read and these kind of things. But with Alexa, man, all you got to do is say, Alexa, give me a Thai recipe. And she will give you one and tell you step by step how to make it, like a personal assistant. Think of it like your own personal chef in the kitchen with you, that you could ask her for the most exotic recipe that you can think of, and she will tell you step by step how to do it. And it's just for anything. Like sometimes, all of us have been in this situation where you may be writing a paper or doing something and you think to yourself, man, how do you spell this word? But then there's no one around to tell you, and you might have to, go to the dictionary or go to your computer or whatever. But with Alexa, you can just ask her how to spell the word, and she will tell you how to spell the word. So, jokes, trivia. If you're a person, especially during the pandemic, I found myself playing a lot of trivia games, and I've been playing games remotely with as many as 10 people. Where we played Alexa trivia remotely, or I could play it all alone. I could be the only player, and she'll play against me.
So tell me how you have that set up remotely. How does that work?
Well, if you have Zoom or something like that, or even the telephone, I've gotten on the telephone with people and just had Alexa speaking in the background and would run she would host the trivia game and name the players and things like that. Then as your question came up, you would answer the question. Then Alexa would hear you over the phone your answer was.
I have a confession to make. I had Alexa playing around the house, and I hope my daughter doesn't hear this podcast, but she does. She'll laugh. She bought it for me. And I didn't really know the value of it until you told me about it. And I said, well, my daughter brought me one of those things, man. So I, you know, we went through that whole gamut of you telling
right.
me the value of it and helping me to get that set up. And then I fell so in love with it, I started using it like crazy. I don't know what happened. I must have broke it. Once it broke, you know, I think Father's Day or something was coming up. And my daughter asked me, she said, what do you want for Father's Day? And I was like, you remember that thing you brought me? You think you can get me another one of those? And she said, yeah, sure, Dad, I'll get you one. And she got me one. And so I have really fallen in love with this thing. One of the things that I use it for, it can keep your calendar. It also can, you know, give you reminders of things that, you know, your schedule. It also, it plays music. I love the music where you go on Amazon and you got a playlist. It'll play all your songs one after another.
You know,
so, I mean, I haven't even scratched the surface of that technology in regards to what that can do. You know, but I have done the trivia games because you taught me that. And so I'm looking forward to diving into it and using it more in the future as well, because during the COVID-19, I have literally shifted. Now we have this radio broadcast. We have the men's call, which, you know, we do. And we have so much that we're doing. I'm beginning to help different pastors with the e-books and different things like that. And my schedule these days is starting to get pretty busy. I thought that during, you know, because it was COVID-19 and I wasn't going out doing any technology jobs anymore, that, you know, I'd be sitting around the house. First couple of weeks, I'm sitting around the house, a little depressed, and then God started dropping certain things into my spirit that I could do on a computer. And this thing is so evolving. Now I got to whip out Alexa, and I'm glad that you reminded me about it because, you know, my schedule already is booked. All the way to next Wednesday. I got meetings.
Is Alexa helping you with these meetings?
No, Alexa's going to be helping me after this call.
Yeah, put her to work.
Yeah, so I'm going to put her to work. But the only thing about Alexa is, you know, I can't afford to pay her. She's going to have to work for me for free.
She's free. Yeah, she's always free.
Yeah, she got to work for free, brother. You know what I mean? You know how you remember Ash with the Simpsons? Don't cost you nothing. Yeah, don't cost you nothing, brother.
Don't cost you nothing.
Yeah.
And Alexa itself, the device itself is what, about $40?
Yeah, about $49. That was nice of my daughter to do that. And, you know, when I heard you using it, you know, I knew I had the device, but one of the first devices that I really got used to using that I would say is in the family is I had an iPhone 11, and I downsized that too because of COVID-19 and the economy, and I went back to Android. But I used to talk to Siri a lot.
Right.
I'd get a call, say, hey, Siri, you know, where's this place at? And they'll, you know, key the directions. And Siri was very similar, and so I was somewhat used to using that.
They're cousins. They're cousins.
Yeah, they're definitely cousins. And so with that being said, when you introduced me to Alexa, you know, I fell in love with that technology. But this digital age is not going anywhere, and is this going to get better and better? And those who take advantage of the technology. You know, you're gonna see some millionaires being birthed from this, and so, you know, I'm really happy about that. You know, how the technology is moving. Let's talk a little bit because we talked about entrepreneurship, we talked about jobs, we talked about the shift in the church and the COVID-19. Let's talk a little bit about money, something that some people love to talk about, something that some people are afraid to talk about. But when we look at the economy and, you know, how COVID-19 has kind of sort of devastated the economy and more people are dependent on the government because they're not able to go to work, the dollar has been the leading currency around the world for a number of years. But more and more is being devalued. But I noticed that people are turning to, and this is a phrase that some people may know about or have heard about, but maybe not, cryptocurrency. Cryptocurrency seems to be on the rise, and that is a digital currency. And a lot of people are using it on a system which is very powerful, like when the internet first came out, called the blockchain. So let's talk a little bit about what you know about cryptocurrency and the mothership of the cryptocurrency, which is Bitcoin.
I know nothing about that besides what you have been telling me about that in previous conversations.
Wow. So
all my information has come from you.
Okay, so you need to be educated on Bitcoin like I had to be educated on Alexa.
Now, I do know, I mean, just recently we had this discussion, and at the time I knew one Bitcoin was worth $7,000, but then you told me that the price had gone up now to $11,000 for one.
Well, as of yesterday, Bitcoin is now about $12,000 and rising. So those who take advantage and get Bitcoin, will be a beautiful thing. Now, you don't have to buy a whole Bitcoin. You can buy Bitcoins in portions, and there are exchanges that will allow you to purchase Bitcoin. One is called Coinbase.com. You can actually go on Coinbase.com and buy you some Bitcoin. You can actually get your bank account verified with your ID, and all you have to do is go on there and you can pay for your Bitcoin in American dollars, and it'll put the Bitcoin in your back office, in your Coinbase account. So they have great security measures that they've put in place to keep people from hacking into your account and things like that. So I don't think digital currency is going anywhere. There are many great altcoins. They call them altcoins, and they are actually other coins besides Bitcoin. You have Monero, you have Ethereum, you have Dash, you have Litecoin, you have HTML coin, you have Redcoin, you have Blackcoin, you have Darkcoin.
Oh my God, I didn't know there were so many out there that exist. So here's my question. With so many out there, how do you know which ones to get? How do you know which ones would be your best investment?
Wow. That's an excellent question. And let's address that right now. One thing about the cryptocurrency, you could lose all of your money overnight, or you can become an overnight millionaire. So what am I saying? I'm saying that market is very volatile. And so to make a long story short, there's a friend of mine. He actually became a multimillionaire off of a cryptocurrency coin. Because, you know, once you buy the coin, you can cash it out in Bitcoin, and then from Bitcoin to American dollars or whatever your currency is, whether you're in Europe and you're using on that type of currency, Deutschmark or whatever. So to answer your question, what you do is they have what is called white sheets, almost similar to when you go into, we were talking about going into Yahoo, and we were talking about typing in a ticker or symbol of a particular company, and being able to pull up the financials on the company through Yahoo Finance. There are places where you can get what is called the white pages on cryptocurrency, where let's say if you have an ICO, an initial coin offering, just like you have IPO in stocks, initial public offering, you can go and read up on the projections on the coin. And some of these altcoins, you can get them for under a penny. Are you understanding what I'm saying here? So if you go in there and you find something for under a penny and you get 4,000 to 5,000 of this particular coin, and that coin goes up to $100 a coin, you tell me, brother, you on your way to Hawaii.
And how do you buy Bitcoin? You just go online, is there a Bitcoin.com website or something?
Okay, that's what I was talking about earlier. There's an exchange, and the exchange is called Coinbase, Coinbase.com. You go to Coinbase, you set up your bank account, and once you set up your bank account and everything, then you're able to be in a position to transfer money from your bank account into the exchange. And that's how you purchase Bitcoin.
So you use regular currency to buy the Bitcoin,
yeah.
And then mm-hmm. it's in your Bitcoin account.
Yeah, and then from there, they have one in particular is called Binance. And Binance is a place where you can go and you can see the crypto, how it gains value or loses value. You can go right there and you can see what the actual different cryptocurrencies are doing, whether they're up or down. It's just like going to looking at a stock market exchange. It's like going to, you know, a place where you can see whether the stock has gone up or whether it's going down. And so you can see it in real time. You know,
and you can buy any denomination of Bitcoin. Let's say I just wanted to buy $20 of Bitcoin. I could do that?
You could buy $20 of Bitcoin. You could buy $5 of Bitcoin. You could buy $10 of Bitcoin.
If
you buy the Bitcoin in portions. Now, say if you buy the Bitcoin and you leave it in your back office in Coinbase.
Okay.
If you leave it in the back office in Coinbase, what's going to happen is it's going to actually, let's say Bitcoin is at 12,000, okay, and you bought maybe $200 worth of Bitcoin. That 12,000 goes to 14, to 15, to 16, to 17,000, you're going to make money. So some people don't understand. They think, oh man, I got to buy a whole Bitcoin. No, you don't have to buy a whole Bitcoin. You can buy the Bitcoin in portions. So you don't have to buy it.
That's what I was saying. That's what I was thinking. I thought I had to buy a whole Bitcoin.
No, you don't have to buy a
value.
Whole Bitcoin. You know,
you educate me because that's what I did not know that.
Yeah, I mean that's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, I thought I had to have $12,000.
No. Well,
hey, knowledge is power.
Yeah, I will tell you this. This is crazy. You know, somebody sent me Bitcoin. You know, when Bitcoin first came out.
Right.
And, you know, you're an entrepreneur. Everything comes across your desk. And so somebody sent it to me, and I remember very, very, very like it was yesterday. And they sent it to me, and I looked at it. And I was like, Bitcoin, what is this? And, you know, for about a half an hour, I looked at it, I pondered it, and then I blew it off. Do you know how much it was when they sent it to me?
How much?
It was about 2 or 3 cents. Can you imagine? Okay. It's almost like what you told me. What was that stock company you were saying that somebody was calling you about? Nintendo.
Yeah.
It was like a Nintendo moment. Somebody sent the Bitcoin over to me. I looked at it. I blew it off and like, wow. Wow, wow, wow. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it would be worth a lot more now.
Yeah.
That's when it's pretty much in its infancy. Now it's blown up. So, yeah, you would have, 3 cents could have been a lot more now.
Yeah, I mean, could have really been a lot more.
Yeah.
I think about if I would have just got Bitcoin and just spent $100 or $200 in buying Bitcoin, it was pennies.
Right.
And now it's $12,000 a coin.
Wow.
And tell me that hadn't appreciated the value.
Let me learn.
I tell you what's going on in the real world. What's going on in the world is most of the countries are now moving to digital currency.
Now, you mentioned some other digital – I mean, you mentioned about 20 other digital currencies.
There's hundreds of digital currencies.
But, okay, this is what I'm – okay, if there's so many of them, how do they have value? Because isn't
they
that how
– value because they are worth something, because when you cash them out, you cash them out in Bitcoin. But they do have value, maybe just like a stock. Maybe this one stock is going for $65 a share. Bitcoin is going for, if we want to talk in terms of stock, Bitcoin is going for $12,000 a share.
Okay.
But this other stock is going for $65 a share. So what happens when the $65 stock goes up to $150 a share? You made money. Same principle.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? I hope I answered the question for that.
Yeah. So what you were saying about Bitcoin, when you said way back when it was 3 cents, are there any other digital currencies that are at a low price right now, but that may spike later?
Now,
like, are there three cents, digital coin that you can buy now for 3 cents that will peak later?
Well, that's the kicker. You got to be in the game to play the game to know what's in the market. But
right.
I know they're out there, you know, because like I said, I had a friend who experienced it. You know, he got one of those altcoins that was, under a penny, and he bought a whole lot of it, and it blew up.
Wow.
It made him a heck of a. I tell you what, he had to go get him. He had to get him an accountant. You understand what I'm saying? So let's talk about, I know we don't know a whole lot about Bitcoin. You got the thing, Wayne.
Yeah, I know. Go on. Don't worry about it.
So can you stop that?
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
Okay, so let's talk about, and our time is winding down soon. Let's talk about stocks. We had this conversation before. The best time to get a stock is when it's like a penny stock. A penny stock, you know, you got different exchanges. You got the AMX. You got the, you got the blue chip stocks, which are. They're big stocks like GM, Ford, like they're listed on the big national stock market exchange. But you have penny stocks, which are called pink sheets, and they're really before they get to the big exchanges, and that's where really the money is made. The money is made is getting them before they get big. It's almost like I wish I would have known you before you blew up.
Right, exactly.
You see what I'm saying?
That's what I'm telling about. Since we've opened that can of worms, I'll go ahead and share, because you mentioned the Nintendo story, but people probably have been asking themselves, what is he talking about? What's his Nintendo story? So I'll tell you my Nintendo story. This was back in the 80s, and this broker kept, calling me over a 3-month period to invest in a Japanese stock. And I knew nothing about stock at that time. And he was telling me to invest in the stock. It was only $100. And every time he called me over a period of 3 months, I always forgot the name of the company. I would always say, "What's the name of that company again?" He kept reminding me of the name of it. I kept blowing him off, saying, I don't have that kind of money. I don't have $100, because I had just gotten married and, we were short of money. And so $100 was, to just let go like that would have been a lot of money to let go at the time. But later on, I realized that the name of that company was Nintendo. So had I invested $100 in Nintendo when they were, when they were virtually nobodies and no one ever heard of them, that $100 probably would be worth a lot more today.
Yeah.
Needless to say. So But like Kevin, like Apostle Kevin said, that's the key to find a penny stock or to be aware of some stock that may potentially blow up. You know, buy it low and then you can sell high, or it'll be worth a lot more money. You know, buy it low when it's only like $100 or something.
Yeah.
And that's what penny stock basically is any stock that's below $1,000.
Yeah, and so you know, there's a lot of different stocks out here that we could get into, and it's just another way for us to be able to make money. One guy told me, though, there's an app, and I know we talked about this before. The app is called, what's it called, Robinhood?
Yeah.
And Robinhood doesn't cost you anything. I know back in the day you used to have to go and find yourself a broker, and the broker would charge you a certain amount of money to execute your trade or to buy, you know, to buy your stocks for you. But now we got apps where you can write on your cell phone, doesn't cost you anything, and you can have your bank card attached to it, and you can go out there and see the stocks. One of the things that we mentioned earlier that people may want to do, want to go to Yahoo Finance. Now, let's make a disclaimer here. We are not financial experts, but this is just knowledge that we gained along the way. And we're just trying to share some information about technology from a technological standpoint and from a financial standpoint, how the technology can make life better. I know years ago my kids used to need money, and we used to always have to drive somewhere to meet them. Or, you know, we had to go to what you call Walmart and do a quick collect, send them money, wire them money, and then they would go to the nearest Walmart and pick up the money. I am so glad for the evolution of Cash App, where, I mean, wow. I mean, it's just a matter of you got a Cash App, I got a Cash App, you need $50 in a matter of seconds. The person has money. And so we see that through technology. This is where everything's going. Everything's going digital. Everything. And that has made life a lot very convenient for us, especially having the church and just being able to, you know, transfer money in a couple of seconds has really been a blessing, because it has saved a lot of time, you know, because a lot of people like to travel. And it just saved a lot in that travel and all that kind of stuff, you know?
Exactly. I use Venmo. It's been good for me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Venmo has been my lifesaver. I've been able to send my son money from time to time.
Talk a little bit about that and how that works.
What's that?
Talk a little bit about how that works.
Oh, well, I mean, you know, it's the same as any other app. You know, you get you have the bank account number, and then you put the amount in that you want to send them, and then he gets it out. It goes straight to his account, and then, you know, he gets it out of his account, so it goes straight in there. So, you know, it gives you more control over your money, you know, where you can just do it from your home. You don't have to, you know, like you were saying, you used to have to go out to Western Union and places like that to do it, but now it's becoming so convenient that you could just be in the comfort of your home and just send, you know, send a relative money or something like that, you know.
Yeah, I mean that is, you know, that has made things much better. That has made things much more convenient. And so, see, we lived in the age. Let's talk about something else. Dealing with technology, and I believe that our time will be winding down. We should, tell us that we only got a couple more minutes. But one of the things that I really was so happy when it kind of finally came into existence, that was the actual portable phone, which we know now as being a cell phone. Tell me what your experience was, because we're at the age where we were around when the rotary phones were in play, and how you were home and you were in the house, and your brother or your sister or your mom was on the phone and you had a little girlfriend or somebody you wanted to talk to or anything, you couldn't. Yeah, they told me to get off the phone because they needed to use the phone. So talk to us about that.
Yeah, well, like you said, that's how it was back in the day. You had to, you know, when you wanted to make a call, you had to wait your turn, you know, or go to a payphone. You know, now you can't even find a payphone. My first cell phone was a briefcase that you open up and then you take the antenna and you screwed it on top of the briefcase to get a signal.
Wow.
And it was delayed. It wasn't instantaneous. You would say what you wanted, you know, you press the button, say what you wanted, and then it would go to the sender. It was more like a two-way radio than a phone because it was delayed. So it was weird. I mean, and then the first physical cell phone I had was like when it got smaller, then I had one that was about the size of a lunchbox. And then Radio Shack had one that looked like the old military field radios. It looked like a brick, you know, like the old field radios you see in the movies.
Yeah.
And it kind of resembled that. And even that wasn't immediate because they had very, very, very few towers back then. And this was before, you know, the big companies like, you know, Sanyo and all the other big companies came along with the cell phones. This was before all that. Radio Shack had it, you know, and there were very, very, very few towers. So the thing is, if you got a cell phone back then, there was nobody to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
That was the caveat. You got a cell phone, nobody to talk to. So,
well, you know,
so it's come a long way.
Yeah. Have you seen the benefit now in actually being able to use a cell phone?
Oh my gosh, cell phones are invaluable. It's like one of those things you wonder how can you not have a cell phone?
Well, a cell phone is like having a mini computer.
Yeah, well, there's more power in the power of your cell phone than what it took to send a man on the moon. You have more computing power in that palm of your hand than it took them to send a man on the moon in 69. That's how powerful a cell phone is.
Wow, and that's some good information because I would have never equated that to you know, having a cell phone. One of the things that I like about a cell phone, which is very convenient, is you can do a lot of things. I think one of the things that was a game changer, and we talked about this earlier, was remember when the apps first came in?
Yeah. And that's the thing with a cell phone, like you say, it's more than just a phone now. It's a device.
Yeah.
You know, it's a computer. It's not just a phone.
Yeah. I know we got 90 seconds. So I think we really had a great, great call today.
Yeah, we did.
I just thank you so much for coming on the broadcast today.
Thank you for having me, Apostle. We were kind of rough, but yeah. I think we'll
it was awesome. But we're gonna continue to do this. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, Word and Praise Faith Ministry broadcast today. I was here with Brother Chris Manley talking about the shift. God bless you all. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you again real soon. You can reach us by going to wordandpraisefaithministries.com. You can send us money by going to $WPFM Cash App. This is Dr. Apostle Kevin Barber signing off with Chris Manley. God bless you, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Wait a minute, let's see if it says it's over. Thank you. because it didn't actually say it was over. We're still listening just to see, okay?
All right.
So I don't know what's going on with that.
Hey Siri, what were my missed phone calls today?
I found 6 missed calls from today. A call from +1 213-688-7398 at 2:27 p.m. A call from 2:17 p.m. And 4 calls from Kevin Barber at 12:00 p.m.
What's that?
Okay, I'll call you later. Okay, all right, Kev.
Bye, later.